Hey, this is Brian Durkin here, host of Full Belly Laughs, and you are listening to the BS Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast, two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
So my beer for this week's a little bit on the lighter side of alcohol content. Huh? What? Really, dude? My throat, see, I mean, I'm sure you can hear it. I have a little bit of a rasp in my throat. Yeah, see? Okay.
That was from 2 weeks ago when you were saying that, you know, pardon me if I cough a little bit because I'm sick. So I went back through and I just pulled your file and I just...
It's gonna happen again this week. So I'm thinking... So to get to the point of drunkenness that I was last week, because I was drinking, we'll round it up to 10% by volume, 22 ounces. This week's beer is only 5%, so I have to drink 44 ounces of it to get where I was last week. So what I think I'm going to do is I need just a warm-up. So I brought a milk stout here by Left Hand Brewery. I'm going to pour this and down it like a champ real quick just to jumpstart everything. And then I have two of this week's beers, which I have not ever had, so it's new to me. I have two of this week's beers that I'm going to... I should make a slow-motion video of me downing this beer like I was born to do it. Watch this shit. I can drink beer. All right, here we go. Bottoms up. This whole thing's about to go down my gullet.
All right.
There we go.
That was a chugger. It wasn't in a boot. That's the only thing that was disappointing.
That was natural. I just downed 12 ounces of beer. So, I mean, how long does that go on? You motherfucker. I promised Kelly we would drink heavily because she thought we were funnier when we did that. All right, hold on. I got to. Fuck you. You son of a bitch. We're already starting tonight off this way, okay? Let's dive right in.
Bob K.
Welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Bob K. Hi, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert, and you're listening to episode 24 for Monday, June 26, 2017.
This week's episode is especially exciting. We're going to talk about the beers we're drinking. We got another call from our scary caller. Talk about the fake words, like especially, and phrases that people say that just piss us off.
We'll discuss Charmin's Uber for pooping in New York City and religious freedom in Arizona.
That's good.
It's like we've done this before.
It's one take, done. I mean, never mind the 15 minutes of bullshit we just went through. I'm sure some of that will make it onto the episode. It usually does.
It might. You never know.
Depends on how clever our pre-show banter is, whether or not it actually makes it on the episode. I leave that up to you, though. You're a good judge of that. So
we've got to warm up, you know, kind of do the pre-jitters, get those out of there and come in swinging.
How have you been? As if we haven't talked over the last week. How was your Father's Day?
Oh, it was great. We spent some time out hanging out with my father-in-law and spent some time with my mom the day before for my son's last baseball game. So it was a good time. How about you?
We were gone for most of the weekend. Went to Kalahari in Ohio. Kids loved it. Had a good time. On Father's Day, we went to my in-laws. I drank some Bud Light.
Not again.
Well, you know, they have one kind of beer in the fridge. It's Bud Light. So I had a Bud Light.
How many?
Just one. Okay. I could never drink enough. I couldn't stomach enough Bud Light to actually get drunk off of it. So I had a Bud Light. It was a family event anyway, so I kept it you know, I stayed responsible. I drove my truck, and Kelly doesn't drive my truck. Yeah. So
you had one to not be rude. You know, you wanted to accept it, you know, as part of the token there, but you didn't want to have too many because it tastes terrible. And two, you were driving home.
Plus, if somebody says, "Hey, Rob, would you like a beer?" I don't know how to say no. Like, yeah. I can't. It almost pains me to say it just hypothetically. So, yeah, I had a beer.
You didn't ask what they had on tap or anything like that? What, you know, do you have a menu? You just knew already. You're a regular.
No, I didn't even have a beer list. I had nothing. The beer list says Bud Light. That's where it starts and ends.
We've got a good show line up here, so you want to go ahead and dive on into the beer and start talking?
We probably should.
All right.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
No fucking around today. Let's do this. Beer me.
Yeah, I think last week when we decided to go ahead and try the two, which I think worked out pretty well throughout the show, and it ended up being a little bit longer show, probably because of that. I think we're gonna go ahead and try the two again. So we're gonna get to those a little bit earlier and then start talking rather than talking and then take a break because, you know, hey, after a long week, we're ready.
So quick caveat to that though. So the beer I drank last week was, you know, 9.9% alcohol by volume. So we'll call it 10%. The beer I have this week is 5%. So to try to give myself an edge ahead of time, because I would have to drink a lot of beer to catch up to the 22 ounces at 10%. The financier in my brain was trying to figure out, you know, the average weight of alcohol that I needed to drink in order to get where I was last week. That's how messed up my brain is about this. But to get a jump start, I had a milk stout, one of my left-hand milk stouts, a non-nitro one, the sweet stout. I downed that a minute ago, so I'm already a beer in. But this week...
You're adding the percentages up.
Yeah, and this one I think was 6% at 12 ounces. Because I had to drink like 44 ounces at 5%. I'm just hoping that the fact that I didn't eat as big a dinner as I did last week when I did this will kind of balance things out here. Because Kelly did mention that as the episode progressed, i.e. as we drank more beer, we got funnier. So I promised her that I would get drunk this episode. In her honor. So, you know, I'm gonna hold myself to that.
Really make her proud. So what are you drinking tonight? Besides the milk stout you've already had, of course.
Yes. Yeah, so this week I decided to go to Atwater Brewery, not to Atwater Brewery, the actual brewery, but a store that carries it. You know, because one of my favorite beers in the world, aside from my nitro stout that I've fallen in love with, is...
You're welcome, by the way.
Thank you for the tip on that. But my favorite beer really is the Vanilla Java Porter by Atwater.
The PB&J.
Listen to the show. You know I love my VJP. So I have another one by Atwater. It is a Decadent Dark Chocolate Ale. It's 5% alcohol by volume. Not very hoppy. The IBUs are at 11 on this bad boy. It's a strong brown ale, so it's dark like you would see in a stout or a porter.
Yeah, that looks good.
But it is an ale, and the website says, holding true to the Northern English tradition, the Decadent Dark Chocolate Ale is at its foundation has a nutty profile with a round mouth feel. Added is a chocolate extract consisting of three blended chocolates of varied depth. I didn't even know chocolate had depth. The result is a rich but not overly sweet experience for both the beer and the chocolate enthusiast. Originating in the 17th century England, brown ales were held most dear in Northern England after World War II. The brown ale influence could also be seen in some early American colonial brewing. Malty nut flavors tend to be more prevalent in the Northern English style, whereas direct malty sweetness tends to lead in the Southern English versions. It's available year-round, and the artwork is some... he looks like our scary caller would look in my brain, but it says eccentric, wild, bold, everything that a chocolate beer should be is the inspiration behind the beautiful artwork on the front of the bottle. I've never had this before, so I'm going to try it right now.
You were holding the bottle. You were holding the bottle up to show me, but it was nowhere near the...
Here, let me try. Yeah. You see it on the website, right? You're looking at the website.
No, I'm looking at you.
So what I did is I put the bottle in front of your face on my screen as if
there it goes. Yeah,
your eyes can see through my computer monitor.
That makes sense.
That's what I did.
So you didn't have a beer before you got here?
I just downed one like 5 minutes
ago. I know, I'm kidding. Just making sure you remembered. You had one a couple weeks ago, the chocolate one, the double chocolate stout, I think it was, and I'm trying to find that one, so maybe this week I'll get over there.
You can. I mean, it's chocolate.
Okay. Well, that's good.
And, it's chocolate. It's malty. It's not too sweet. So you can taste like the bitterness of the dark chocolate.
Okay.
I like it.
It's good.
And I'm not just saying that. I'm not just saying I like it. I really do like this beer.
Well, it's by Atwater. They've got your favorite number one beer there. So why would they let you down?
They've never let me down yet.
Well, I've got over here, and this is from a brewery that we covered early on. I don't remember exactly which episode, but I did let them down by being a little bit too generic in how much I like the beer. But this is a Three Notched Brewing Company 40 Mile IPA, and I had
Three Notched was pretty early on.
I think when I was explaining that I like the beer, I said, I actually like it, or something, just kind of like it was a big bowl of okay. So we tweeted that early on, and they wrote right back on Twitter saying, hey, it's got to be better than that. So I felt bad. So I figured once I saw another brewer of theirs, I went ahead and grabbed it and figured I'd cover it on the show again. But
yeah, try not to be such a dick this time.
It's hard. But this is the 40 Mile IPA, and their website says 40 Mile is our flagship IPA and is named after the number of miles Jack Jewett raced to warn Thomas Jefferson and his state legislators that the Cornwallis had tapped.
So now you're doing it.
40 Mile is our flagship IPA and is named after the number of miles Jack Jewett raced to warn Thomas Jefferson and his state. It looked like you're laughing. To warn Thomas Jefferson and his state legislators that Cornwallis had ordered their capture. Jack Jewett's ride is legendary in Virginia and put Three Notched Road on the map as a central story in the fight for our country's independence. Jack left his mark on history. How will you leave yours? It says this West Coast style IPA is hopped with an abundance of American hop varieties, giving it a tropical, peachy pineapple with big citrus, grapefruit, tangerine notes in the nose and in the finish. The light, crisp, malty body allows the complex hop flavors to stand out, and the subtle bitterness makes this IPA a refreshing, easy-drinking, delicious beer. That's exactly what it is. I wasn't quite sure. Sometimes IPAs, the last couple of weeks, they've had a little bit of different flavors with the floral notes. And this one is definitely more fruit, which I like quite a bit. It says it's American West Coast IPA, 6% alcohol by volume and 50 IBUs. So it does have some of the bitterness in there. And it is really hoppy. And I don't know if I would have been able to pick out the fruits in there. But now that I know, the tropical peach and pineapple flavors are in there, I'm going to see if I can recognize them.
Two successes this week with our beer then.
I think I rated it a 4.25, so that's pretty good. It's probably close to a 4.5 for me.
Wow, you really like it.
I do like it a lot.
A lot more, when it comes to the ratings, we've discussed this before, but you're a lot more picky, than I am.
Yeah, I try to figure out exactly, you try to reserve the fives and the 4.75 for one that, I guess, that really stand out above everything else, because I don't want to rate everything a 5 and a 4.5, and I try to be somewhat mindful so that when I go back later on, I can remember, okay, well, that was at least a 4, then I know it was really good. If it was higher than that, and depending on how much, can I tell you exactly what the difference is between 4.25 and 4.5? But I start a little bit lower so that I don't go in high. And then if I drink a little bit more of it and it tastes better, after a couple of sips, then I might go in there and notch it up a little bit. So,
well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, unless it's one of the top beers you've ever drank, of course, it's not going to get the 5. I gave this one a 4.25 as well. My VJP, I rated a 5. Yeah. I think that and the Nitro Stout are the only two beers that I've ever rated 5 on Untappd. But speaking of Untappd, where can you find us?
And Untappd is a social network for tracking beers, finding other ones to try. And I'm at RobertK328.
And I'm at PhilRoberts33.
You mentioned a scary caller a couple minutes ago, and he decided to call back in. And I was getting a little bit worried throughout the day that we wouldn't hear from him, but sure enough, we did.
He came through for us.
Hello, guys. Hi there. How are you doing? I found a quarter on the street, so I called in. I heard you had a little payphone beer issue.
Wow.
You need to stop drinking that Mexican jumping bean beer, and it won't get all over your car. Rob likes sausage. Rob likes sausage. Hey, Phil, I heard your mouth is dirty as fill in the blank. Oh. Don't forget about Louis Vuitton.
I don't know where that came. That was almost like, oh, yeah, as he's running out the door or whatever he was doing, but that one was pretty good. That had a little bit of everything in there, from the quarter, you know, that we had mentioned about finding a quarter and calling us back from the payphone, to, you know, evidently found it in the street, so he's loose. What else was that? Oh, you mentioned the sausage from before, your beer incident. Uh-huh. So I don't know what a Mexican jumping bean beer is, but maybe he was thinking it was Corona. But if he had listened close enough, he would have known it wasn't.
I think he's just was making a joke that my beard leapt out of the truck when I opened the door, probably. Yeah, apparently I like sausage. That stuck out in his mind.
I said I like sausage. I said I'm the Polish boy and I like sausage. So he's confused, and I know exactly why. And it hit me earlier when I listened to that. He called you Phil, and that's why last week he started out like this. Because you're untapped is Phil Roberts 33.
Which is a play on my name, which is Rob
right.
Phillips.
But I was just trying to figure out if he was figuring out that your name was Phil and I was Rob, because he keeps getting it confused. But I think before maybe he said Rob and Robert. I don't know. So now there's a Phil, but he's crazy.
When have you ever called me Phil on here?
No, never. Yeah, I'm Rob and I'm Robert. Yeah, I know.
Nobody calls me Phil.
No, I don't know. But hey, that's why he's a scary caller. We can't expect to understand what he is. And he's
if the whole call made sense,
would we even play?
it wouldn't be the same. He wouldn't be scary caller if he, you know, if obviously there was an ounce of sanity in what he was talking about. So
Well, the laughs do get maniacal each week, and it's definitely worth a yuck.
He got a yuck out of me, and the problem is again, I'm dealing with like coughing issues and dry throat. So every time I go to laugh, I feel like I have to cough. So should be fun.
That's okay. One thing the scary caller did do this week as well is he joined our Facebook page and our Facebook group. So we at least have some sort of picture of him, and he's already posting away. So if you haven't done that yet, we are on all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And as he left us a message.
I noticed that you had a phone number.
We do, and that is 530-882-BOBS. That's 530-882-2627.
One thing I was thinking of earlier as well is if you want to leave us a message and you don't want it to be played on the air, go ahead and leave it. You know, so if there's any suggestions, feedback on a prior episode, we'll honor that request if you ask not to. But if you don't, then hey, we'd love to play it. So let us know.
All right. So we got a review this week, so that's good. On iTunes, Dr. Toboggan from the United States of America, evidently, said, always a laugh. Keep it up. Brent from Hysteria 51 Podcast.
If anybody else would like to leave a review, just go on over to iTunes, search out the Two Bobs, and leave it there. Last week, we had a list of crazy tattoos, so we thought that was kind of fun. So this week, we've got something is both Rob and I are a bit of a word snobs or grammar snobs, and I think we all have people out there that we work with that we know that say things incorrectly. So we thought it would be fun, since this drives us crazy, to maybe go through some of these and drive each other crazy and see what drives everybody else crazy as well.
I mean, correcting people's bad English, I think, it's a passion of mine. I try to avoid the mistakes myself, but I think we're generally pretty good with that stuff. But there's people out there, and I, you know, without naming any names, there's some people out there that just drive me crazy with some of the stuff. So I'm excited because, you know, it gives me an opportunity to maybe air out some of this dirty laundry regarding bad use of the English language, and make innuendos to people without actually saying their names. But also, I think it's a public service announcement. I really hope that as people listen to this, they're learning too.
There's a couple things in here that I correct people on all the time, and it's minor, but at the same time, it's got to be right.
All right, so let's dive in.
I'm hoping we can keep it straight this week. I'm going to do my best.
Yeah, let's, you know, well, as usual, I'll let you know if you step on my turn or anything like that. So
please do. All right, you take the lead this time.
All right. So the first one on here is irregardless.
That's bad.
It's regardless of what you think, that's not a real word. And I can, you know, not to point fingers at elderly listener, but she says this quite often.
She's an irregardless person.
Irregardless of what she says, irregardless is not actually a word.
No, just regardless. Regardless of this, regardless of that, you know, there is no irregardless. So
yeah, irregardless doesn't make sense, even if it were a word.
Number two is ain't. I remember as a kid, we always said ain't a word. Do you ever use ain't?
No, because grammatically speaking, you want to say I'm not, right? I'm not going to. But people use this a lot. It says ain't isn't a real word because it's not a contraction of any two words we know of. But Funny enough, dictionaries begrudgingly add it because it is used so frequently. That doesn't mean you should use it, though, I don't think.
It's a dumbing down of America.
All right, next up.
I love this one. This is one that I get all the time that I constantly point it out, but it happens more than you would think.
I could care less. I could care less. And the problem is there's probably a bunch of people listening that are like, well, what's wrong with that?
That's right. No, I say it all the time. That's right. I've had people argue with me. My lovely wife. She argues with me that that's correct. No, I could care less. I could care less. But it's not true.
Well, if you could care less, that means that you care. That's the problem.
Right. It's not the bottom.
I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less. I care so little that I couldn't care less about, you know, whatever.
It's true.
And actually, the caption says, what you really mean is, I couldn't care less.
We explain that, but only better.
So this next one here, it's your turn.
The next one here is interwebs. And that's one I think that's more used just kind of as a silly, you know, we know it's the internet and we know it's the web or the World Wide Web, whatever you want to call it. I think these days nobody really calls it World Wide Web anymore. It says, when did it become cute to say interwebs instead of internet, web, or heck, even the net? Combining internet and World Wide Web for no reason is just stupid.
So first off, I love the picture of Jack Nicholson that's on the caption here. But also, I will admit, I use this sometimes, but I always use it in like a facetious manner because I just think it sounds funny.
Hey, buddy, I could care less if you ever use that with me.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, I get that a lot. The next one is...
A lot.
The next one is yours.
A lot. Yeah, the next one is mine. Damn it, Robert. It's mine. I'm gonna keep track. I'm gonna keep track. That's good. Put bad day. But grammar enthusiasts will appreciate it a lot if you don't combine the words to make a lot. So, in other words, a lot, a space lot is a real thing, but a lot in one word. Not such a real thing.
Now this one I do hear, and I think on rare occasion I will use it, but that's a whole nother issue. I love the picture of Kevin Hart kind of looking at you like, what? But it says, people love to make cutesy abbreviations all the time, so why add an unnecessary N before other to make a fake longer word? So the issue is they're saying that's a whole another issue instead of a whole other issue.
I gotta say, I probably use this one sometimes too. I don't like this game anymore because it's exposing my own weaknesses with the English language that I didn't realize that were an issue until we started doing this.
You're only talking down to the people that you're speaking to. It's not like you're doing it wrong on purpose.
That's true.
Right? I mean,
it's almost like a... It's almost like a good thing. Listen, I'm okay with exposing my flaws sometimes.
Well, I know certainly that I do it every week.
Now, this one I can't tell you I've ever heard somebody say this, but enunciate instead of enunciate. Someone may announce something shocking over an intercom, but they never enunciate it.
I don't think I've ever heard that one.
You heard that one?
I mean, I saw that, and then I had to really kind of dig deep to see if there was any time that anybody's ever said it, and maybe once, and I probably...
I mean, if you say that word to me, I'll probably punch you.
As well you should. Now, would you punch me if I dove into a second beer?
No. In fact, I'd cheer it on.
All right. Well, I'm going to log this one into Untappd in a little while, but this is a Southern Tier Brewing Company New School IPA, and it's NU... School, SKOOL.
Nice.
6% alcohol by volume. I'll be tasting it, and I'll interject at some point with my findings.
I just poured another decadent dark chocolate ale.
I wish I had that.
Decadent. Sounds fancy. I like it.
That's right.
Can you get Atwater? You can. No, you can have the vanilla Java Porter.
Yeah. There. So I'll probably be able to get that. I know I can find the one that you had, you know, a week or so ago with the purple bottle or the purple label. I know I can find that because I've seen that.
Melissa would probably like this one. I can slightly see to the other side of it. It's not just like, oh.
It's because the glass is empty. That's the only way.
No, I filled it up, asshole.
All right, just checking.
It's filled. I can see just a little bit through it. I can see your stupid face through it.
Jeez, somebody's grouchy. Well, the next one here is conversate. And we're having a difficult conversate right now.
We're conversationalizing.
We're conversating. Says you converse with people all the time and have conversations. Conversate, however, is not a word. That's true.
What are they going to have strategery on here? It's going to be George W. Bush's stupid face on it.
Well, yeah, I think enunciate and conversate are there. I don't know. Maybe it's a generation.
I've heard conversate. I've heard conversate before.
Yeah.
It's not a real fucking word, though.
This one I get stuck on.
Anyway. Oh, my God. Anyways. Yep, heard this one before. Anyway, don't use anyways. Anyway works just fine. So, in other words, you can say anyway, because that's a real thing, but anyways, not so much.
And the caption here has it with the three dots at the end, the ellipsis. So I think that's kind of when people do it. Well, anyways.
And I just imagine somebody saying it in like a kind of a ditzy voice, like, anyways.
Do you have anybody that did you know that uses that you're thinking of?
Yes, but I'm not going to say it.
I don't want Kelly getting mad at you.
I should say this because I'm always dogging on Kelly on the podcast here. And I will say this. My wife has a very good grip on the English language.
Anyways.
It's really the only way I'm able to stay married to her, because if she was just butchering it, it would be driving me insane all the time. So she's very good at the English language, which, thank God.
Driving her crazy like your eating noises?
Yeah. So what's worse than eating noises? It's just kind of like just spontaneous clearing my throat noises. It's so funny. So last night, not that, again, you know, how we do with tangents, but last night, sorry, that's one right there. So there it is. Thank you. This is great. I was waiting for this to come out.
I wasn't going to do it, but since you went down there.
I'm pretty sure Kelly will puke when she hears this.
That last one is the best. You know, it was fun going back through that show, and I think that, this is 24, so I think it was 22. You were
such an asshole.
You weren't feeling well, and you said at the beginning, oh, I'm going to be clearing my throat a lot. And so I went back, and I think I even mentioned it last week. Oh, I got a special something I want to put together, but I just haven't had time, and that was it, because I wanted to go back through. And I could have sworn there were more. I mean, that's
such a dick.
That's 19 seconds worth, so there's probably 10 in there. And I could have sworn in, what, an hour that we usually have to kind of parse down to 45 minutes or 50 minutes. I could have sworn there had to be more than 10 in there. So maybe you just did a better job of hiding them than I thought.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like I've been doing it every 5 minutes, so while we've been recording here. Not even. Every 2 minutes I've been doing this. But anyways, yeah, last night, I'm sort of sitting there watching TV, and as we do, and I'd clear my throat, and Kelly would be sitting there perfectly still, and every time I did that, she'd like physically react to it. So she would like kind of like throw her legs, her feet up in the air, and it just give me this nasty look. It's just, God, I love her. She's hilarious.
Well, you know, I think you have those reactions, and I'm not going to speak for her, but I know there are certain things that happen. If you're stressed out or if you're just kind of on edge already, it's easy to latch on to that. And I think that's when, you know, the mouth noises, for me anyway, they're annoying at times. But then if there's something that's really going on, oh, here it goes.
Sorry, I was using this opportunity while you're talking.
Well, I should have closed my eyes.
You guys are probably the coolest Bobs of all the Bobs.
So
that fucker's,
I think,
right.
When you're sitting there and you're already on edge about something, so maybe she was just, you know, it's been a long day. You know, she's had the kids home, you know, by themselves. Is that true? School's out, so she's had the kids home. So true. I think, you know, she's had that time, and she's probably stressed, and she's probably trying to unwind. And every little thing you do, no matter what, is going to set her off at that point. So, you know, don't take it personally. I think that's just how it was that day.
No, you are 100% correct. Everything I do sets Kelly off.
Well, more so when she's stressed.
Sure.
Who's up?
It's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn. Well, this one is all right. A-W-R-I-G-H-T.
All right.
All right. You may feel all right about using the word all right since it has become so acceptable, but all right is just taking it someplace, not all right.
I feel like this one's not, because it's just like in conversation, we say, all right, you know, all right. I don't go out and say, all right, all righty, let's do this. Like, you know, as long as when the person is actually writing the word down, they're putting an L.
You're not pronunciating all right.
Pronunciating. Shit. We're just adding on to this list as we're going through this. Like, Slippy?
I've never heard that.
First off, why does it look like there's a fucking dead chick sitting there? Like, it's like a zombie. There's like blood on her face. It's just so slippy. Wait, let me read the caption. I don't even know how this is. The roads may be slippery and you may fall, but you're not going to fall because they are slippy.
I've never heard that.
I got to tell you, I've never heard somebody say the roads are slippy.
No.
Because if they did, they'd be slipping down the stairs.
With a gentle shove.
Now, this one I've heard before. Go.
The picture actually makes it, but it's, I asked you a question. You may have asked, not axed, someone a question unless you swung a sharp implement at someone at the same time. So, yeah, axe.
I feel like there's something, this is something you'd hear at Walmart. I'm just saying there's a particular type of person that doesn't know how to pronounce asked and will say axed instead, as if the K went before the S. I'm not close to any of these people, though. That's all right.
The next one is definitely popular.
Supposedly.
The picture is perfect for it.
Supposedly is one supposedly. Of those words. Supposedly. Supposedly is definitely the correct word to use, not supposedly. I hear that one a lot, and it drives me insane. I don't say it, but...
Supposedly, I pronounced it incorrectly.
What?
I got bling. I don't get it. I like the picture.
Do you, Robert? No, this is no, the
I
don't. Thing.
I have no bling. Bling is an example of a word that is used so often that it has been added to the dictionary. Can you think of a better way to describe flashy jewelry?
I don't know what's worth, saying I got bling instead of I have bling, or just using bling to begin with. And there's a picture of this guy here with just like these like retro shades on and gold-plated teeth.
No, that's
his bling.
That's bling. That's silver. Oh. Maybe it's platinum. He didn't even spring for the gold. And he's got a neck tattoo. And his hair is braided.
Well, that's the ultimate mark of sophistication right there. Cornrows.
Cornrows on a white guy.
Cornrows on a white guy. Show title.
All right. Next. I thought sausage. Rob Loves Sausage is a show title, but Cornrows on a White Guy. That's good. We'll flip.
There's so many. I mean, we're going through words, so there's definitely
we'll flip a coin.
Some good ones that we can think of from this episode. Let's see here. Next one is intensive purposes. For all intensive purposes, and there's apparently fucking Rambo on this one.
It's for all intents and purposes, never say for all intensive purposes. So it's intents and purposes.
Oh, I get it.
That's tricky. You know, that's like, I could care less. That's, you know, that's one of those that would be easy to mix up.
What if the purposes are intensive, though?
I'm so confused. I don't know. This beer is good, by the way. It's got more of that floral in it, though. So it's not quite a four. It's a high three, though. 3.7.
More flowers, less fruits.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah.
That's why I just go with chocolate. Chocolate's always good.
You can't go wrong with chocolate.
Chocolate makes everything better.
All right. We brung it. And I never know, what is it brang, brung? When is it right? And every time I use it, I always second guess myself.
I always give my mom, a.k.a. elderly listenership, because she uses the word boughten.
Wrong.
Oh, boughten.
I had boughten this thing. No, you didn't, because that's not a real fucking word.
No, it's not. But we brung it. We brought it on. You didn't bring it. Is there a brang?
If somebody says... We brought it on, then that, you know, that they'd be intelligent then. Bring?
Yeah,
bring?
I brought you some beer. Oh, go get some of the beer we brung.
Bring or brought?
Brought, right?
Bring isn't a word.
Oh, the cheddar brought?
Brought. I like that brought better.
Did I bring? Go get the beer that I brang, or go get the beer that I brung.
Rub.
So those aren't right?
Sausages. He brung Bob sausages, K. Bob K.
He brung us some sausages.
Next word is chillax.
Now I use that.
Do you? Well, yeah. it's a contraction of chill and relax.
Right. It's kind of cool. It's hip.
Do people actually think that chillax is a real word?
I don't know.
It's a
wow.
It says you can chill and relax, but chillax is not real. Fucking word.
Is that Netflix and chillax?
So I got some feedback on last week's episode. Netflix and chillax. Netflix and relax. This is yours right here.
Confuzzled.
I'm just going to let this play in the background while we're doing this. Okay.
You may be confused and things may be fuzzy, But if you're confuzzled,
motherfucker.
But if you're confuzzled,
Rob, what, honey?
But if you're confuzzled, you're in desperate need of a dictionary. Confuzzled. That's another one that I've never heard.
Nope, never heard it.
I like that we're doing this because there are some in here that we're doing as a public service announcement, but there are ones in here that maybe some of our listeners have done it and we just don't know, but I don't know. I still think this is necessary.
I think so, too. The picture is of Liv Tyler, too, so I wonder if she uses that word.
I would hope not.
Does her dad know that she uses the word confuzzled?
He doesn't know anything.
Maybe confused. Disorientated.
That one I think I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard it too. Disorientated. The real word is disentorialationalized.
Oh, you may feel disoriented, but there's no need to create another syllable and describe the feeling as disorientated.
I say disorientated.
I'm getting a headache. Funner.
Oh, man. It's
Pennywise.
It's Pennywise.
Pennywise. You're
not
funner.
Not the band, but the clown.
That party was funner than the last one. You may think it's funner to use barely acceptable adjectives like funner, but you'd be better off saying more fun.
This is another one that makes me want to punch somebody in the clavicle.
Oh, yeah, this is bad.
Espresso. It's espresso. E-S-P-R-E-S-S-O. Espresso. I've heard people use this. These are the same people that say especially instead of especially. It's espresso. You may want your espresso quickly, but that's no reason to pronounce it espresso. True story.
This one I've seen. Firstly. First, when you are listing a bunch of things, you should say first and not firstly.
Yeah. Secondly, you can say.
Yeah. First. Yeah. But there is no firstly.
Thirdly, flustrated. I've heard this one before, too.
Yeah. Flustrated.
I think of somebody in specifically at work. And I used to hear her say flustrated all the time. I don't know if she listens to the podcast. We're on Facebook, but she used to say flustrated all the time. And it would frustrate the hell out of me because like I was trying to be nice. I was the boss at the time, so I didn't want to be like, yeah, don't fucking say that. It's not a real word. So flustrated. And it says you may feel flustered and frustrated at the same time, but that doesn't mean you can create more problems by making up a word like frustrated.
Foliage. If you get lost in the woods, you're surrounded by too much foliage, not foliage.
I like how it's the chick from Blair Witch too.
That's some creepy stuff. You see that movie?
Oh yeah,
Josh. Yeah, that's not
the second
too far
one was
from here.
Stupid though, but the first one was pretty fucking scary because the first one they actually made it look like it was just some people with a camcorder. The second one they made it look like a movie.
I lived in Maryland a few years back, and that house was actually still up for a long time, and you could go to it and see, you know, basically hang out in that part of the state park. But some vandals eventually tore it down, and oh well. But yeah, that was a creepy movie. I have it on iTunes. I need to watch it again. It's scary.
I saw it once when it was a new movie, and that was
probably enough.
I don't know, 17, 18 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Next word, gription.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know, but Samuel L. Jackson apparently does. And it says, you may have heard someone say, my tires have good gription. They probably mean that their tires grip the road well, but gription is not a real word, and I have to say I've never heard somebody's gription, so
that's kind of a letdown for being the last one, but that's the 25 hilarious fake words people use.
Oh no, there's more.
There is. I'm back at it regardless.
Yeah, but it repeated itself in the go to the next one.
Oh no. Nauseous. Projectile vomit. Nauseous is a real word, but a lot of people use it to describe the sensation of feeling nauseated. Nauseous describes something that is nauseating, like nauseous cigar smoke.
So it's a real word, but it's just not, it's not being used correctly, and you should stop.
I'm a participator in this podcast today.
Participator. We are participating. You may be a participant in a class selection, but it's preferable to describe yourself that way as opposed to a participator. I've never heard somebody say participator.
No. Probably. It probably happened. I love the photo. Honey boo boo.
I was going to say, that's Honey Boo Boo, isn't it?
Probably has so many syllables, doesn't it? That's probably why people use probably. Oh, I win. I win for the next one. Yours. You call it.
Sherbert. Sherbert's a real thing.
No,
son
it's
of a
not.
Bitch.
It's sherbet. There's one R in sherbet. Wasn't that a show title?
No. We've talked about this.
I know, because people say it incorrectly. Since you're the one that uses this, this is another one of your failings tonight.
It's the caption says, sherbet is a fucking frozen treat. Sherbert is, well, an unfortunate name for someone, we're sure. Taylor Swift seems to think that sherbert is also not a real word because she's on the picture. All right, I've used sherbert. I usually say sorbet, but
that's different though. One's milk and one's not. No, one's milk and one's fruit.
Fucking Google it.
Something
last time.
Like that. I know.
Do the next word.
Snuck. You sneaked a peek at something. You didn't snuck a peek. Nevertheless, people use snuck so much that it's been added to the dictionary.
Yeah, I've heard snuck. You know, that's like crowdsourcing words, though. I mean, it's a real word now. You can
enough
use
people
snuck.
Use it. They have to
it's
add
in
it.
The dictionary. It's a real word now. I snuck up behind the motherfucker and strangled him for using that word. Vice versa.
Yep.
Yeah, I've heard that. If it's okay one way and another way, it's fine, vice versa. We're not sure where that extra A came from, but it's just wrong. And I hear people saying it all the time, motherfuckers. So there's plenty more words on here. I think we've gone a long time with this. So we're going to go ahead and move on to the next thing. But we'll put the link in the show notes. Go through, tell us how many you say. And we'd sure like to hear some feedback on some of the words and some of the things that people say that just drive you insane.
Find us on Twitter and Facebook and leave us some feedback. We'll post all the information there, so feel free to reply.
We were talking about this at work today because I have Crohn's disease, and it just seems like all the people I work with, we're just like a gastrointestinal mess. So we're sitting at lunch today. I'm serious. We're sitting at lunch today. We're all talking about our different stomach issues that we have. And one thing that was brought up was that we all know when we're going to and from work, we know where the easiest places to stop for a toilet is. So like for me, I know there's a gas station that's right. I get my gas there most of the time when I fill up my tank, but it's like kind of like right at the midpoint, a little bit closer to my house, but right off the road that I travel, one of the roads that I travel to get to and from work. So I know that I can go there. They have a restroom. There's never anybody in there. I imagine a world where we're just somewhere and we're out in the open and trying to get from one place to another, not knowing where the nearest restroom is.
I saw this on Mashable and I thought it was kind of funny. And at the same time, it's kind of genius. But, you know, Uber and the on demand economy that we have these days with Uber, Lyft, and, you know, being able to order groceries that'll show up the same day and order food that can come right away. Charmin, the toilet paper company, has come up with a little, I don't know if it's a gimmick or if it's something they're going to do long term, but they have it in New York City. But they've done yesterday and today, they had 2 days where basically, you could go on the website, which is CharminVanGogh.com, and that's VANGO, not the painter Van Gogh, and you could request a truck that has a full bathroom in it to come to find you. So much like you request an Uber to take you somewhere, you could go on this website and request a big old truck that would come and let you take a big old dump in it.
So it's like a puber.
Exactly, a puber.
That's hilarious. So you just you go on the phone and they bring the bathroom to you.
Yeah. So, I mean, it says New York City has a big problem. There aren't many clean, reliable bathrooms available. If you need to pop off the busy streets for a pit stop, you probably won't find a free toilet. And even the ones you pay for are more than likely to be icky. So, and, you know, basically on the picture, it looks like they've got four people that stand there and, you know, make sure it's clean after you use it. So it's not like, you know, you're going to go into this, you know, I can imagine the bathroom that you're talking about at a gas station is probably not the best, but maybe they keep it clean. But when you go, you got to go, you know, but this is four people that keep it sanitary. So, you know, you request it, you go there would you use something like this?
Oh, hell yeah, I would. Like if I was really caught between a rock and a, you know.
If you got to go, you got to go.
I got to go. And I'm looking at the pictures here and this is like, I mean, this is like.
It's nice.
I don't know if it's real, but it's like hardwood floor. It looks like a, you know,
yeah, nice, it's like a pergo floor. And it's got the
modern toilet. There's, you know, there's marble on the
sink for washing up, and there's towels and everything. So I mean, I think it's legit. I mean, it's Charmin and it's out there. So I don't know if they're going to do it. You know, maybe it was just for the word of mouth for Charmin, and you know, if they can do this for a little while and get people to buy it just because they did it. But you know, the only thing is, you know, I know, you know, that people have various things about going at work and going in public, but seeing the part where I get stuck is seeing four people that are riding around in this truck. So, you know, they pull up and they pull out the little carpeted, you know, stairway for you to get up into the back of the truck and go in, and it looks really nice inside, but I can't help but think, if you've got to go and there's four people outside, they're waiting for you. How are you going
to
do that?
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure. Not to mention, if you just blow up the bathroom too, there's no like at least at work, like we have individual restrooms, one for men, one for women.
Right.
And so, I mean, a lot of times when the bathroom's been blown up, we know who it was because it's the last person that came out. But at the same time, like I can at least like try to sneak out if I really just, you know, just mess it up. I can sneak out and, you know, hope that nobody sees me and knows it was me that did that. But here, I mean, it's you. Like, if you blow this bathroom up, you know, God forbid, what if you clog the toilet?
I'm sure. I mean, look, it's a full suite in here. They've got the towels and the toilet paper and paper towels. I'm sure there's a cleaning thing. So, like, if you really do damage in this thing, you know, you don't have to, I don't think you're going to have to leave it for somebody else to take care of. I think the stuff is probably there for you to be able to at least make it a little bit better for them so that you don't have to feel embarrassed as you come out. And it doesn't say anything about the cost either, but I'm sure it wasn't free.
No, I'm sure there's probably an expense to it. I mean, they got to pay these poor fuckers to go in there and clean up after you. I feel like they should partner with BioBidet too. Like, you know, just... But the problem is, you know, they're Charmin, though. It's like partnering with their competition, I guess. So.
Yeah, it's not good.
They're all about wipe your ass with dry paper. We're not.
Yeah, so they called for my Van Gogh at the corner of Madison Avenue and 23rd Street, but we wound up having to meet at 5th Avenue and 22nd. Charmin reps told me that it's bound to happen in the busy city with so many people ordering the van. Just like when your Uber driver winds up three blocks from your spot, so be ready to coordinate with your TP time over text if you plan on calling it in for the promotion. So I think in those busy cities, it's probably good, and you can duck into stores, but it's for customers only. And even those aren't always that great. So
no,
I guess if it's clean and it's in an emergency and there's enough of these vans out there, it might be worth it.
I guess I'm just fortunate because I live in the burbs and everybody seems to have a restroom you can pull over and use if you really need to.
Just knocking on doors.
In fact, the city next to this, because I work in Rochester Hills, Shelby Township has a city ordinance, which is it's the town right east of Rochester and Rochester Hills, but they have a city ordinance. If you're a business that serves the public, you have to have a publicly accessible restroom. So if you're in Shelby, that's one of the great things, is you can walk in any business. And even if it was like in the back, they'd have to walk you back there and let you use the bathroom and blow it up and then leave. Yeah.
I'll buy a stick of gum before I leave.
Yeah. I mean, I always feel guilty. Like I can't, you know, even when I stop into my gas station, they know me because I'm there at least once a week filling my tank up. So when I go in there, they know what I'm up to and they know I'm good for it. I give them money.
Yeah. Well, I think if you're getting gas there, and I always feel bad, you know, you pull over to those places, you're on a road trip and you pull in, you've already had lunch and you've already done, you know, whatever else you need to do. But, you know, you get halfway down the road and then one of the kids or even you is like, oh, I got to go again. You're not going to buy anything. I always feel bad. And like sometimes we'll stop. If it's the Subway, I'll go up and get a pack of three cookies or something just to, you know, make it worth it. But, you know, I mean, I guess they don't really care at the end of the day. But at the same time, you feel like, hey, you help me out. I'll at least buy some cookies.
You scratch my ass, I'll scratch yours.
That's right. I think we have a crazy news story before we finish the show.
Yeah, I've always and this applies. I've always thought it would be fun to try to figure out to start my own religion. And I don't know what it would be, who I would be praying to, what I would be thinking, but I just know that my religion would require that on a Friday I can't work past noon, and I can never work on the weekends. This guy takes it a step further, though. Like, I would never think about going to the Secretary of State, here, as we use here in Michigan, to get my driver's license renewed. But this guy here in Arizona actually... Well, he has a calendar that he wore on his head during his driver license photo, and he did it in the name of religious freedom. So tell us a little bit more about it.
A Chandler, Arizona man now has an official driver's license featuring a photo of him wearing a colander, the Arizona Republic reported Thursday.
Just expression or just plain ridiculous. Watch this. You're going to get a kick out of this MVD photo. Yeah, they were saying it was a mistake that the pasta strainer headwear made it onto the official driver's license. The guy in the photo, Sean Corbett, says it is religious headwear as part of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. Google it. It's a thing. He admits some find the religion ridiculous, but he says he is within the rules.
That's the basis of the religion. The religion, you know, is satirical in essence to basically say that, you know, who are you to say that my religion is valid or not valid?
So it's meant to kind of get a laugh. MVD says facial recognition software failed to weed out that photo and they are recalling it. Corbett says he plans to fight this and take it to court.
I'm sure that's not the last that we've heard of that. That's for sure.
Yeah. So facial recognition, but it's not the person that's sitting there telling him to look in the camera and not noticing that there's a metal colander on his head. And even in the interview, he's got the colander. So I think he's looking for his 15 minutes.
So what difference is this then wearing a hijab or a turban or something like that? I mean, granted, this guy is obviously, like, he knows that Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster is bullshit and a Pastafarian is not a real thing. But I think he's calling out he's doing it not because of his religious beliefs, but he's just stating that he has religious freedom and just because his belief is different than other people's beliefs that we shouldn't, you know, he has the right to express even if it's as dumb as wearing a colander on his head.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a limit there somewhere, but there's no real, I think there's probably no real written law that says this is what the limit is, you know? So is there anything that's in there that says, you know, that a hijab is okay, but a colander on your head or some other form of, you know, what you want to call religion, whether it's a, you know, a tiger's hat or a national's hat, you know, you can say, hey, that's, you know, that's my religion. I can wear this. And is there anything in there that specifically says, I mean, probably does say about sports, but is there going to be anything in there that says, you know, a kitchen utensil on your head is not acceptable? And I don't think there is. So he's probably got a point.
What's funny is it actually is a real, like if you click, there's a link on there that says Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And it actually takes you to a website called venganza.org. In the about it says the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, after having existed in secrecy for hundreds of years, came into the mainstream just a few years ago with millions, if not thousands, of devout worshipers. The Church of the FSM is widely considered a legitimate religion, even by its opponents, mostly fundamentalist Christians, who have accepted that God has larger balls than theirs. Some claim that the church is purely a thought experiment or satire, illustrating that intelligent design is not science, just a pseudoscience manufactured by Christians to push creationism into public schools. These people are mistaken. The Church of FSM is legit and backed by hard science. Anything that comes across as humor or satire is purely coincidental.
Their mascot is a big, if you look at the picture up there at the top, it's, was that Michael or whoever, you know, it's, I guess from the, what's that, the Sistine Chapel, you know, it's the naked guy reaching out and, you know, supposed to be touching an angel, but instead he's touching, you know, two meatballs and a big bowl of spaghetti that's kind of reaching out with one of the noodles. But you've seen, and I sent you the pictures earlier of the little magnets or the little stickers that you see on the back of cars. I don't see as many nowadays, but I think we can put a photo somewhere in the notes. But yeah, I've seen these out and about with a little FSM on the back of people's cars. And
have you really?
It's something I've been, yeah, I mean, it's something that I've been aware of for a long time. And it goes back to, you know, some web forum, you know, I'm sure years back where somebody had this as their avatar. So I looked it up then and didn't think anything of it. But then, you know, now with the colander, it's, I guess it's making a resurgence. And actually in looking for the photo that I was going to send you earlier, I found a lot more people that have essentially this same thing. So if you kind of Google, you know, flying spaghetti monster or colander driver's license, you'll find a lot of other people with that same exact thing in other states.
What's funny is there's a picture on the FSM website. And it's a guy who was probably protesting religion. There's a guy with a hoodie that says "Trust Jesus." A guy standing next to him that says "Warning: drunks, homos, abortionists, adulterers, liars, fornicators, blah blah blah. Hell awaits you." And then it quotes a verse, or it names a verse from the or a passage from the Bible. Now, there's a guy from the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster who apparently has arrived on site, has a sign that says Pastafari in Heaven, has beer volcano, stripper factory. We welcome all on his list. And there's an arrow pointing to the guy with the sign that has all those people and all those different classes of people that are apparently going to hell. Says that's funny. And it says Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. He boiled for your sins. I mean, how can you hate that?
If this is somewhere I have to go every Sunday, it's probably not that bad.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
And it's spaghetti, you know? And now, you like spaghetti and meatballs. I know this is going to be a tangent of all tangents. You got to have the meatballs.
I like
in there,
carbohydrates, right? In general, and pastas, right? You know, it pretty much tops the list.
But you got to have
list.
The meat, right? You're going to eat it without meatballs. You're going to eat it without sausage, which...
Well, so Kelly's not into, you know, she's okay with the vegetarian pasta dishes, but at the same time, she has.
I'm asking she does, you, she, you know.
Well, she cooks.
She
the
gets
dinners,
upset
though,
at you,
Robert.
When you,
what do you,
you
want
clear
me to
your
do?
Throat and all that stuff, and you gotta. I like, no, you're the man of the house. Put your foot down. Tell her what you want.
Okay, yeah. Let me call Kelly down right now, and we'll discuss this with her.
Put her on here.
No, but I mean she cooks dinner, right? And I appreciate the fact that she cooks dinner, and we have picky eaters in our family. Good. I'm not the picky eater. My kids are, though. So she cooks multiple dinners every day. So I don't complain about anything she cooks.
Nah,
but
you're right.
I will say a lot of the time she does understand and respect the fact that I am a carnivore.
You're a pastafarian with meat tendencies.
I'm a carnivorous pastafarian, and that so she does cook with me quite often. In fact, she'll make me like sausages because you know I love sausage, and she's not into that. She will go out of her way to make stuff that I like. And
sure,
so I appreciate.
I know
that.
Melissa's the same way, so I'm sure she does.
Yeah, stop being such a dick.
So it's what we do. It's what makes us the Bobs.
One more tangent. This was years ago, but I mentioned to Kelly, and I forget what the context was because, again, this was just a long time ago. It was when we first got married. I mentioned the word colander to her, and she goes, "What's a colander?" And I said, "I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? It's a colander, right?" And she goes,
"Strainer, probably."
She goes, yeah. "I'm like, it's like a bowl that has holes poked in it." That's used to drain things. And she goes, "Oh, a strainer?" I'm like,
"Yeah."
Well, yeah, it's the same thing. And it was just kind of a funny thing. So apparently she had never used the word colander.
Strainer, you know, it's probably along, you know, going back through those words that we had earlier. It's probably one of those things where it's the easier thing to say. It's a strainer, it strains, you know, that's what it does. But colander is, you know, and
it's
I guess
a colander, a Collins.
I don't know if the word Collins, I'll take your word for it because I trust you, but
it's a real word.
Strange noodles. I'll Google it later on, so we won't bore everybody else with that. But I think that's episode 24 in the books.
I really feel like we just should stop recording our episode now. Hey, you want to do a Bean Boozled challenge? I still have these things.
I do too. I have my package at work, and I meant to use them with somebody, but I never did. So
yeah, mine literally are still sitting on the desk. You can see it because I'm holding it in front of the camera.
You figured it out. You figured it out what I can actually see.
Not your eyes on my screen.
If anybody wants to reach us, we are available on all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast. We do have a Facebook page where we post official things, and we also have a Facebook group where folks are in there, including Scary Caller as of today. So who knows what that'll bring. But
and I will say this, some of the stuff we've talked about lately has been stuff that people that are in our communities have suggested or posted for us. So if you find something out there that's just, you know, just funny, looks like it would be something that would, you know, go well with our show, or even, it doesn't even matter. Just post it on there, and there's a chance if we both get a kick out of it, that it'll end up on the show.
Yeah, feel free to share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. And if you'd like to give us a call.
Yeah, I noticed that you had a phone number.
We do, Betty White, and that's 530-882-BOBS. That's 530-882-2627. You don't have to be our scary caller to call that.
No, you don't, but if you are the scary caller, that's okay, too.
Yeah, we'll see you. We'll see you fuckers next week.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.